Okay, right now we're starting from the middle of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara we just finished discussing and describing yesterday, the kavod that the story, famous story of Esav blocking Yaakov's burial. We mentioned the famous Medrash of Chushim ben Dan running back to Mitzrayim to get the deed of sale. Eventually, Chushim ben Dan. Taking the stick and whacking Yaakov, Esav in the head, Esav's eyes popping out, landing on Yaakov's legs, Yaakov smiling, a lot of fascinating midrashim. We're going to go back to the discussion of these burials, and this is our last omer of this parak. So Milano Gadol Yosef, remember with the Gemara, the Mishnah had described earlier, that who was greater than Yosef, who accorded such respect to Yaakov, and in turn, Yosef is respected by having Moshe Rabbeinu bury him. So we're now starting from, again, we also last time, the two dots, and Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, about 18 lines from the bottom of the page. Milanu Gadol Mi Yosef. So Tanu Rabbanan, let's go and discuss a little bit about the burial of Yosef. Bo Re Kama Chavivos Mitzvos Al Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how beloved mitzvos are to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael Kula Nisasku Bebiza. B'nai Yisrael, the entire B'nai Yisrael was busy, busying themselves with taking the money, the spoils, from Mitzrayim, the Kesef and the Zav from the people in Mitzrayim to take out with them when leaving Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, but who needs to ask mitzvos? He was busy doing mitzvos. Shneamar, Chacham Lev, Yikach mitzvos. A wise man is one who should grab mitzvos. Forget the money, put the money aside, take the mitzvos with you on the way out. Moshe Rabbeinu, he took with him the bones of Yosef. And the question was, how do you know where to find Yosef? Minayin hayyodeh, Moshe Rabbeinu, heichan Yosef kavur. How do you know Yosef was buried? So Amru, the Masorah has it, they say, that Serach Bas Asher, Nishtayr Mi Oso Ador. The Serach Bas Asher, Serach was the daughter of Asher, Asher meaning from the Shvatim Asher. So his daughter Serach apparently was this lady who survived many, many years. She lived for centuries, Chazal tell us. And she was around when Yosef was around, and she was around also when Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim. She was around many, many years. And so Moshe goes to Serach. Halach Moshe etzla. Amrla kluma yodat heichan Yosef kavur. Any idea where Yosef is buried? Amrlo arun shamatechas asulo Mitzrayim. V'kavu b'nilu sanar. Deishis baruchu meimav. So she said to him that they made an arun shamatechas, a metal coffin. The Mitzrayim made a metal coffin for Yosef, and they put him in the Nile River. They put the body in that river so that the waters will be blessed. Yosef, we know, brought great blessing with him. Yosef HaTzadik came years of plenty, and then he stopped the years of famine and protected everyone. They looked at him like he was this financial whiz, and maybe on account of his body being in the Nile will be blessed from it. So Halach Moshe v'amar al Sfas Nilus. He stood by the Nile, the riverbank of the Nile. Amar lo Yosef, Yosef, higiyash ha'esh v'shbad v'sh brechu, sh'nigo l'eschem. Moshe says, Yosef, it's time that Hashem has promised. And I'm going to redeem Bnei Israel. V'yigia shvua sheish batas Israel. And the time has come for your shvua, your promise that you made Bnei Israel take. And that was, take my bones out of here. You asked, take my bones out? Well, now is the time. Yimotam ha'aretz mecha mutav. If you show yourself now, great. V'imlav haray ani menukim mishvua secha. And if you do not show yourself right now, then I'm menukeh. I'm naki, I'm clean. I'm clean from your shua. I'm not to be held responsible for not carrying it out. Meaning, I'm here to do my job. I'm here to do what you promised. But you have to make yourself known to me. I don't know how to find you. Miat saf aronos of Yosef. Immediately, the coffin, the metal coffin of Yosef, floated. Saf, it floated to the top of the Nile. And Moshe was able to grab it and take it with him. Valti tama heich barzel saf. Don't wonder. Don't question. How could barzel float? So we see it says in the pasuk in Malachim days, describing when Elisha was with a number of people who were chopping some wood. But the barzel now fell on mayim. That one of the people chopping wood with Elisha was cutting mapil korah, was cutting down the beams, and his barzel, his iron blade fell into the water. The gomer, etc. And then the pasuk goes on. Aha, aduni, vu shaul. Whoa, my master, this is borrowed. This is what the person who was chopping said to Elisha. Whoa, my master, this axe is borrowed. I can't afford to lose his blade. There were Isha Lokim, and so Elisha described Isha Lokim. He was called Isha Lokim. What proximity to the fall? So he showed him the area where it fell in. And so Elisha cuts down a small piece of branch. He throws the branch into the water, and the barzel, the blade of the axe, floats to the top. So don't question, how could it be that the coffin floats? What do you mean? It happened over here with Elisha. And is it not a kavachomer? Elisha, talmido shel Eliyahu. Eliyahu, talmido shel Moshe. And saf barzel mifanav. So if Elisha, who's a talmid of Eliyahu, who's a talmid of Moshe, I mean, not directly, but, you know, the Masorah goes back that way. And yet for Elisha, talmid, he was able to have barzel float. The Moshe Rabbeinu, Achaz Kamal Kamal, the more so, Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to have barzel float. And that's his Masorah. That Moshe Rabbeinu went, you know, talked to the Nile. He told Yosef, time to go. It is the time. I need you to appear to me right now. And so he did. And he was able to take Yosef's bones out with him. That's version one of the story. Rabbi Nassim has a different version. Rabbi Nassim says, "B'kabernet shalmalachim haya kavur," like a tomb. Like, you know, you have in Mitzrayim, all the great leaders were buried in tombs. All the princes and the pharaohs. So Yosef was buried in a tomb in Mitzrayim. Halach Moshe v'amad al kabernet shalmalachim. He went to this. Again, the tombs where the leaders, the rulers were buried. Amar Yosef, Yeish nishbat hash brachos and niko elskam. Yeshua shishbat is Israel. Matamar es b'cha mutav v'imlav rayani menukim mishuasecha. Same story. Time has come for me to redeem them. Time has come for me to take you out like you promised, like we made this promise. But I need you to show yourself. Otherwise, you know, the shua is done. We can't do it if you don't show me who you are. Bo'osa shah nizdazeh aronah shah Yosef. At that moment in time, the Aron, the coffin of Yosef, began to shake. Not lo Moshe v'viu etzlo. So Moshe Rabbeinu takes it and he brings it, and that's how they found the Aron of Yosef. The entire way in the Midbar, there are two Aronos, two Arons that were carried the whole way through. Echad shel Meis, one of Yosef's body, v'echad shel Shechina, and one of the Shechina. If you remember, we said earlier that actually all the bones of all the Shvatim were actually taken out of Mitzrayim, but Dafka, the two that were carried side by side, was the Aron of Yosef, a tzaddik, and the Aron, like in the Aron contained the Torah inside of it. So Echad shel Meis, Echad shel Shechina, Mahalkin Zeim Zeh, they would go together. While you over in Vishav and Omrim, people who would pass by would say, Mativan shel Shnei Aronos Halalu, what's going on here? What's the business? Why are there these two Aronos? Why are there these two, whatever you want, one coffin and one Aron, you know, with the Torah in it? So Amru Echad shel Meis, Echad shel Shechina. One is of Yosef, who's passed, and one is the Shechina's Aron. So why would they have the mace and the Shechina going hand in hand, going together? So Amru, the top of the Gemara base now. This one, meaning Yosef, fulfilled in his lifetime everything that this one, the Aron of the Torah, the Luchos of Bris, had in it, that Yosef had fulfilled everything that's written in here. Actually, Rashi over here goes through and explains to him how each of the Sarat Dibros, Yosef in his lifetime, did something, said something to represent and fulfill that. If you want to see the fascinating Rashi, tap Rashi in the Gemara base. But Yosef did everything that's written in this, in the Luchos, in the Sarat Dibros. Okay, so the Gemara now goes on to understand better and says, I don't understand. We're giving credit to, let's say, to Moshe Rabbeinu for taking Yosef's bones out. Says Gemara, if you lo yasek be Moshe, Yisrael lo habi maski be. What, if Moshe didn't do it, so Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have done it? They would have done it also. I mean, don't say like Moshe did it, Miss Bezos didn't do it. They would have done it. Moshe did it first. V'aktiv says in the pasuk, v'es atzmos Yosef asher lu Bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim kavur b'Shechem. It even says that the bones of Yosef that Bnei Yisrael took from Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem. So we do see that Bnei Yisrael seems to be also involved and engaged in the taking of Moshe, of Yosef's bones from Mitzrayim. Why are we giving credit to Moshe and not to Bnei Yisrael? V'suin furthermore, ilo yasku be Yisrael, let's even say that Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have. Wouldn't Yosef's descendants, direct descendants, have been involved in it? It says after all the positive axiom, that Bnei Yosef embraced the opportunity to have Yosef buried in their portion in Shechem. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu getting the sole credit when it seems to be it was a partnership that everyone really seemed to play some role? Bnei Yisrael played a role. Yosef's own family played a role. Why is Moshe given the full credit for this, the burial of Yosef's bones at Mitzrayim? So Amru. So what happened was that the family said, meaning that his family said, you know what, let's leave it be. Let's not take it ourselves. Better to have Merubim, more people, than few people. So instead of Bnei Yosef being the only ones who deal with it, let the whole Bnei Israel deal with it. The Suomer, and they said afterwards, you know, Anichulo Kvoda Begdol, Mr. Mikdanim. Instead of making it as far as the quantity, let's make it as far as the quality of who takes them out. Anichulo, let's leave in, better to have cover of the Gdol, Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get more Gdol than Moshe Rabbeinu. So better that the Gdol and Moshe Rabbeinu would take care of it than the Ketanim and the masses, even though it's Bnei Israel. And therefore, that's why, even though Yosef's children would have loved to participate in it, and Bnei Israel would have loved to participate in it as well, they reserved the honor for Moshe Rabbeinu to be doing it, because that accorded Yosef the most honor. If you remember last time, we said that Yosef did the same thing to Yaakov. Yosef, who was the greatest of the Shvatim at the time period, he buried Yaakov, which gave Yaakov the most kavod. So to give Yosef the most kavod, it makes the most sense, not for his family, not for Klal Yisrael, but for the great one, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the one who engages in the actual taking out the bones from its tribe. Okay, we'll mention again, Kavur B'Shechem. So Yosef is buried in Shechem. Mai Shnaz B'Shechem. Why Dafka Shechem? So Amar Rebbe Yicham Rebbe Chanina, Mishchem Ganvu, U'Shechem Nachzir Abedasom. That from Shechem he was taken in the first place. The story that happened, Yosef and his brothers, when he was sold, happened in Shechem. So he was stolen from Shechem. Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayevo Shechema." He went towards Shechem, as the pasuk says, when Yosef found his brothers. And in the end, we returned to Shechem also. We returned the lost object back to where it was lost in Shechem. Of course, the Kashu cried that we have a seeming contradiction between Sukkim Adadi on themselves, on each other. Ksiv says, "Vayikach Moshe Smotz Yosef Imo." Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Ksiv, because that's Moshe Yosef Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael Me'ar Mitzrayim. So we have that Bnei Yisrael took Moshe Yosef out of its tribe. Seems to be a contradiction. Which one was it? Says the Gemara, Amar Bicham Rabbi Chanina, Kola Ose Dabar Velo Gamru, Uba Echad Vigamru, Ma'al Lavakazu Ki Al Shigamru Kilu Asel. The person starts a mitzvah and doesn't, or starts anything, doesn't finish it. Someone else comes and finishes it. We give credit to the one who finished like he did the entire thing. Which, by the way, is an interesting idea when it comes to the rules of baseball. Baseball. There's this very unusual, they now give a lot of different stats. They have stats of, you know, holds, but saves is a big stat. It was a big stat for a long time already in baseball. Why was holds only a recent stat and saves was such an important stat? Because when you finish something off, you get credit, a lot of credit for finishing it off. And over here says the Gemara, you get credit as if you did the whole thing from beginning to end. You'd even get a win for a save sometimes, not in baseball stats, but in Gemara terminology. If you finish it off, then you get credit. You get credit as if you did the entire thing. So even though Bnei Israel did not take the bones out of Mitzrayim, that Moshe did, but because they're the ones who buried Yosef, Moshe couldn't bury Yosef. Moshe never got into Eretz Yisrael, which we'll soon talk about in the Gemara today as well. Moshe never got there, so he couldn't bury Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. So Yosef's family in Bnei Israel did it. And therefore, they're giving credit as if they took out of Mitzrayim also, even though really that was done dafka by Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only do we get credit as he did the whole thing, but Rabbi Lazar adds on, Omer, if you start something and you don't finish it, then you lose some of your great status. You get demoted. Now again, Rashi puts that over here, only you get demoted if you were like negligent. I mean, like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get the extra because he shouldn't have let him in. He wasn't negligent not to bury Yosef. He just wasn't allowed in. But we'll see right now when it comes to Yehuda was negligent. Because he was negligent, he loses his, he gets demoted from his great power of being one of the leading shvatim to being maybe less, at the time at least, less appreciated shevet. Again, after reading something else, the chsiv, Yehuda, says Yehuda went down, meaning he went down in the brother's eyes. Yehuda, Rashi points out of here, said originally, Ma betza, what benefit is there to killing our brother? We shouldn't kill our brother. We shouldn't kill Yosef. And then he threw him in the pit. And then he had him sold. He didn't take him back. He didn't save his life in the end. So because he ended up being part of the selling of Yosef and not saving him in the end, so he goes down from his greatness. Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda goes down. Where else do we have the word Vayered before it? Remember we had the word Vayered versus Vayale? Where we had this comparison of Vayered versus Vayale? Remember this? I'll tell you the place even. Place was Timnasa. Vayered Timnasa, Vayale Timnasa. Aaron, what do you got?
He's like, the city Shimshon went to, and one place like it said, one place it said they went up, and another one went down.
Good. Who went up and who went down? Remember?
I think Shimshon went down because his downfall was there.
Good. Who went up?
I remember.
It's right in our sugya. Yehuda. Yehuda went up because that's when the whole story with Tamar happens, and it led to him admitting, right? He admitted, and when the Malachim were born and the Nevi'im were born from him going to Timnah to see Tamar, so that's why he went up. But over here, he went down not to Timnah over here, but he went down in the brother's eyes, says the Gemara, because he didn't carry through. You bury your wife and your children if you don't finish the job off. Whoa, it's pretty intense. Tichsiv, it says, Thomas Bashua HS Yehuda, Uksiva Yamas Erva Onan. So Yehuda lost two of his sons and his wife immediately following the story that we had of Yosef being sold. And the reason why, according to the Gemara, is that he didn't carry out his journey when he started off doing, which is saving Yosef's life. He left it in the end, he left it in the middle. And therefore, he's a Yared, he goes down, loses his wife, loses his kids. Very sad. Okay, I'm reading Rav. Why was Yosef called bones in his lifetime? Meaning, Yosef says about himself, he says, take my bones out. But he was still living. So it's strange to call himself by bones. I mean, he say, take me out. Why is he referencing himself as bones at the time when he's still living? Says the Gemara, he was given like this punishment of being called bones while he's still living because he didn't protest in honor of his father. What does that mean? The Kamerle, when Yosef was unknown as to who he was the viceroy of Egypt, and Yehuda is trying to convince Yosef to let Binyamin go, Yehuda said to Yosef many times, Avdecha Avinu, your master, your servant, our father. Yosef's listening to his own father be called a servant of Yosef's. He didn't say anything. He didn't protest. He didn't say, he didn't correct him. He let Yaakov be called Yosef's servant. And for that, he's punished and he's called bones even while he's still living. Why did Yosef die? We know that, and even though he was one of the younger brothers, he was the first one of the generation to die, as it tells me in Yosef Shmos. Why did he die first? What was he punished? Because he had a position of authority. And when you have a position of authority, actually the Mishnah of Avos says you should try to avoid authority, whether it be more governmental position. Don't be a governmental leader because it could cause arrogance. It causes you to maybe to misuse your power that you have. So that comes along with some challenges. And that's why Yosef died earlier, because he had a very important role in the government. And that doesn't always have good good things attached to it. Okay. We're two dots, we're a little more than the Amud left to go to our parak. But Yosef horayed Mitzrayim. Yosef was brought to Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar, al tikri horayed ela horayed. Don't read as he brought down, rather he brought down. He brought them down. What does that mean? So read as signine paro migdulasan, that he brought down the advisors of paro from their levels of greatness. Meaning, more later on we'll talk about this topic, but Yosef walks in, and paro is all these leaders, people who help him out, people who are his seers. Yosef walks in and he kind of like, he takes control. He becomes the viceroy. He supplants all these people who came before him, who were waiting for the opportunity to serve Paro in his cabinet. Yosef becomes the person who actually takes over. Okay. Vayekneu Potifar Sris Paro. It says that Potifar, the officer of Paro, bought Yosef. Amar Rav. Rav said, what's it, Vayekneu? Shekanu la'atzmo. That he actually wanted to take by Yosef for his own sexual deviance. The Potifar wanted to be to engage in intimacy with Yosef in inappropriate fashion. Now here you have a girsa that says Bug Gavriel Vistir, so Gavriel came along and he castrated Potifar. Bug Gavriel Upiro. Gavriel came along and he made him into someone who's sterile, meaning again he castrated him. Meikara Ksiv Potifar. Originally Potifar is called Potifar. So Potifera. Later on he's called Potifera. So Piru means to expose, that he exposed Potifar for what he was about to do. And he made him unable to perform sexual intimacy with Yosef by making him lose his genitalia. Okay. Milanu Gadol Moshe. Who was greater than Moshe? And we know that God's Baruch Hu in the end was the one who buried Moshe. But Yomar Hashem Eli Rav Lach. Now, the Gemara goes on right now to discuss Moshe Rabbeinu, who's also meeting Hagamido, that he had in maybe a little bit of a negative way. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says to him, Rav Lach, enough out of you. Meaning, the answer is no, you can't go in. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara, I'm sorry, Amar Rebbe Levi, Berav Biser, Berav Bisruhu. With the word Rav is what he originally, Biser, he told to Korach, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. And therefore, as a response, he's told back to him, well, you have enough also. Right? But it's Berav Biser, Berav Bisruhu. He told them, or him, to Korach, he said, Rav. And he was also informed by Hashem, Rav, enough for you also. Rav Biser, he told Korach, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Rav Lachem. Rav Yisru, Rav Lach. Okay, so that's one shot. So again, we have the video. Where else do we see this idea that with blank Biser and blank Bisru, where was that word that we had instead of Rav? Remember that we had earlier? Also like a video where something was said to one person, or he said something and he was said back to him afterwards, the same thing. You remember that was? Sound familiar, guys, or not really? What do you got from me, Aaron? What do you got? I see you shaking your head. Yes. Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Anyone? Akiva? No? Yosef? I'll give you a hint. Has to do with Yehuda. That's my hint. There's a word that he uses to tell Yaakov that here's the clothing of his son, of Yosef, and is drenched in blood. And he also, when Tamar sent something to him, she says to him, no? Say what David's on. It should be on Yidam and Bees, I think. Yidam and Bees. Is that right? Yeah, Yidam and Bees. Towards the middle size lines, at least my Gemara. I'll tell you, Haker. Remember? Haker, no, please. Remember Aaron? Yeah. All right, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So we have the same idea again with Rav, Biser, Rav, Isru. That's shot number one. That you said Rav to them, we say Rav back to you. Number Acher, another shot, what means Rav Lach? What does it mean? Rav Lach means Rav Yishlach. You have a new Rebbe now, a new master of the Klal Yisrael. Umanu Yoshua. Who's that person? It's Yoshua. That's the new Rav. That's the new Rebbe right now. Your time is up. And now Yeshua's time is to take over. Davar Acher, another pshat. Rav Lach, so Yomru HaRav Kama Kasha V'Tam L'Kama Sarva. Rav Lach means enough out of you that they shouldn't say that the Rav, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this context, how difficult he is. He won't listen to the pleas of his Talmud. And the Talmud Moshe Rabbeinu, how big a sarvan, he refuses. He refuses to listen to the psak of his master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, stop davening for it. It's enough already. You keep on davening, people want to think that I'm some heartless leader, you know, creator, and that you're some rebellious student. So enough already. The Kokach Lama. Meaning, why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give in? Why did he not give in and let Moshe Rabbeinu go to Eretz Yisrael? So here it says, Tana the Beir Rishvah, the Fum Gamla Shechna, according to the camel, is the weight. What does that mean? It means that when a person does things in his lifetime, if he can handle it, then we give him more and more. Meaning, if you can handle something, we give it to him. Which means we say like tzaddikim are judged b'chut ha-sa'ara. They're judged very, very severely. With a small little misstep, they're given a big punishment. Why? Because they can handle it. So Moshe Rabbeinu did something small, so he was given a big punishment because he can receive it, and that's the best way to have someone be forgiven in this world, is by giving them what they can handle. Okay. Be'omer Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu, almost his parting words to Bnei Israel, says, B'meyav Esrim Shana Arochi Hayom. I am today 120 years. Shintam Lomer Hayom. Why does it teach me Hayom? Why does it say I'm 120? Why am I 100 years today? So Hayom Milu Yamei Yamei. He was saying to him, today is my birthday. Today is my 120 years. My years and my days are filled today. Lamedcha to teach us. Shekach Baruch Hu mashim shnoseim shaltadikim miyom liyom mechodesh lechodesh. Shekach Baruch Hu fills the years of a tzaddik day to day, month to month. I will fill the days of your life. So we see over here the numbers of your days that Hashem fills the days to the exact amount, 120 today. I hit my max today. I'm leaving the world today. That's what over here Hayom means. Moshe then says, "Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo." I no longer can come and go. What does it mean? Latzeis v'lavo. What does it mean? You can't come and go. Ilema latzeis v'lavo. Mamish, you mamish. He's having a hard time moving around. His physicality was taking a hit. He couldn't come and go. He couldn't walk so much. I v'aksiv. It can't be. It says in the pasuk. V'aksiv. Moshe ben me'aves shim shana b'moso lo naslecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, was 120 years old, and he never had his like vibrancy run away. He never lost his. He never became like a zaken. Where lo naslecha means his lecha is like his juices never nace, never nas, never ran away. I mean, he adds that they died strength, physical strength. So what do you mean that he couldn't come and go? Rather means, Uksim also says, v'yal Moshe b'arvos Moav el har Nevo, that Moshe Rabbeinu goes from Arvos Moav until har Nevo, from the hills of Moab to the mountain of Nevo. But Tanya was taught, shtayim esrei malos hayusham, upasa Moshe b'psia achas. This is the day he died, those last moments in the world. There were 12 like steps or levels, and Moshe jumped them up. Hassan, he jumped up on those 12 steps with one jump. So he was certainly had his physical strength about him. So what does it mean he couldn't come and go? So Amr Shmuel Bar Nachman Yamar Miyodasan, Latzeis Lavo B'Dibrei Torah. No longer could he come and go and deliberate in matters of Torah, meaning the wellsprings of wisdom, says the Gemara right now, Melamed Shenistatmu Mimenu Shari Chachman. The gates of wisdom were closed up for him. He lost his ability to understand and to direct halacha, and therefore he was given Yeshua as a replacement. It was time for him to be replaced, to go. Okay. V'yelech Moshe of Yeshua v'yisyatzvu ba'ol moed. Moshe and Yeshua, they went together and they stood in the ol moed. Tana, it was taught, Oso Shabbos shel dio zugi haisa. This was the Shabbos of two partners, of two pairs. Or of a pair of two people that were partnered. Nitla Rishus Mizav, Nitla, one Rishus had it taken from him. It was taken the permission from Moshe and it was given over to Yeshua to be the next leader. If it was not for the Torah saying it, I would never be able to say it myself. That Moshe makes the Chelkel Shel Reuven. If you look at the discussion of the Torah, Moshe seems like he died in the portion of Reuven. That's the place he died. Reuven was on the other side of the Yarden. But Nevo, Chelko Shel Reuven, Kaima, and we know Nevo was in the Chelik, in the portion of Reuven, as it says, Dichsev, Ubnei Reuven, Beno, etc. Ves Nevo, that Nevo was one of the names of Reuven's children, and therefore Har Nevo was Reuven's territory. That's where he died. But he wasn't buried there, it sounds like over here. The Hecha Moshe Kabur, where was he buried? The Chelko Shel God. He was buried in the portion of God. Now, again, Reuben and God both on the other side of the Yarden. They both did not make it to Eretz Yisrael, what was originally to be Eretz Yisrael on the other side of the Yarden. They stood on this side of the Yarden. But nevertheless, we see over here that Reuben and God seem to be not near each other directly. They were far from each other. And yet we see over here that they were, he died in the Chelik of Reuben, and he was buried in the Chelik of God. And we know, how we know it's the Chelik of God? The same thing about the Yari Shislo. I'll read the whole passage so you see inside. Ki sham chelkas mechokek. That again, it's referring to again the portion of God that he saw the first by him, because over there was the portion of the one who set law, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. The portion, the burial portion of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the chelik of God, not of Reuven. But he died in the chelik of Reuven. So that doesn't make so much sense. Michael Shel Reuven ad chelkos shel God kamahave arba milin. There were four mil. Which is like, again, yeah, I think altogether 4 mil is about a mile or so. 4 mils of parsa, about a parsa or whatever it is. It's a pretty serious distance away between the two places. So he died in one place and he was buried a mile away from there. How could that be? No one was with him at the time. No one was with him when he died in the mountain. So what's going on over here? Osan Arba Milan Mi Halicha, who brought him those 4 mil? Moshe Mutab Kanfe Shina, Mlache Shariz Omrim. Moshe Rabbeinu was lying on the wings of the Shechina, and the Shechina brought him over. And Malachim Asharis said about Moshe as a eulogy, a funeral procession being carried out from this tribe of Reuben's portion to the tribe of God's portion. Tzidkas Hashem was, you see now a few pages of what was being said when Moshe was being buried. Tzidkas Hashem was said, which was Tzavi Yisrael. Malachim Asharis was crying out. The justice of Hashem was done, and the laws and their laws with Bnei Yisrael. And it goes, Baruch Hu Omer Miyakum Li Im Re'im. Me says, "Live Li in Poli Oven. Who would stand with me or stand for me from those who are evil? Who will stand by me with those who are Poli Oven, who are committing crimes, acts of sin?" Again, that's a line that Hashem would say when Moshe was being buried, like part of his eulogy. The Shmuel Amar Shmuel said what was being said was, "Mika Chacham Miyadei Pesha Davar." Who is like the wise man who knows how to solve matters that are problematic? Rashi points out over here that Moshe was the one who made compromise between Bnei Israel and Hashem when there were problems that were going on. Moshe would always be the defendant and protect Bnei Israel. Who's going to do this job? Rabbi Yochanan said, what the eulogy was, a chachma me'ayin timsa, where will we find chachma ever again? Moshe is gone. Nachman Amar, vayamas sham Moshe. Vayamas is from the words vayamas. Whoa. Moshe has died. Smilion, which named one of the chachma, apparently, according to Rashi, named one of the Amorim, I guess. Amar vayamas sham Moshe Safar Rabbi Israel. Moshe, the great leader, the great teacher of Israel, has passed. Okay, so we have here again, no one could really say it, the Torah didn't say it itself, but the Torah does seem to suggest that Moshe died and Reuben was buried in God. So that only makes sense. We just described this unbelievable imagery that we described just now. Tanya Rabbi Lezer, Agoda Omer, Shnema Sarmiel, Al Shnema Sarmiel, Kenegin Machan Israel, Bas Komashmiya. That these sounds of this eulogy, you could hear it. Bashmiya Basko could be heard over over a 12 meal by 12 meal. Again, a very large portion, a large amount of area that the Basko could be heard saying this thing. And that was Kneged Machan Israel, Kneged the campment of Israel. Israel also was 12 meal by 12 meal. That was their the amount they took up in there, as far as the people they had around in the encampments. And that 12 by 12 meal is how loud the voice was, that you could hear it from distance 12 meal away. And it would say, but Omer, Yamas Moshe, Safar Abed Israel. The age Omer, and some say Moshe never really died. Lomis Moshe. Ksivha, Chava Yamas Sham, it says over here, Moshe died there. Uksivha, some says over here in by Moshe Rabbeinu also, Vayish Sham, Im Hashem, referring to, I think when we got to the Mount Torah, that Moshe was with Hashem for 40 days, 40 nights on Har Sinai. And Vayish Sham, the word Sham, Vayamas Sham, Vayish Sham. Moshe stood up and was serving Hashem standing on Har Sinai. So too over here, even though it says the word Vayamas, he didn't really die. He was also serving Hashem by the area of Har Nevo as well. Okay. A little further about Moshe Rabbeinu's burial. We'll get to a few more points and finish our parak together. Moshe was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite of Beis Por. Beis Por was a location where the children of the daughters of Moab, the daughters of Midian, they seduced Bnei Israel, a place called Beis Por. So Moshe was buried in that area in the valley in Moab, opposite from Beis Por. Amar Brechia, Simon Betoch Simon. You have sign after sign, meaning you have indication after indication where Moshe's burial place is. Vafilu Hachi Lo Yada Ishas B'Kavuraso. But even besides that, though, no one knows where Moshe is buried. But they gave a pretty big map. They gave real description. But yet, no one really knows where he's buried. Not only that, Shilcha Malchus Arisha, the Malchus Arisha, the Roman government already sent, tried to find emissaries who could find Moshe Rabbeinu's basic Kvaros, where he was buried. Eitzel Gistra Shal Beis Por. Gistra means like the government. The government of people in Beis Por. So the Romans sent some emissaries to try to see. I want to find Moshe Rabbeinu's, Beis HaKvaros, cemetery where he's buried. Ha'inu heichan Moshe kavur. Show us where Moshe is buried. So Abdul Amal, he stood on top of an area. Nivlehem Lamata says, oh, there it's down there. Then the Lamata went down. Lamata went below. Nivlehem Lamala, looked like it was on top. Nechkul Shekido, so they broke up into two different groups. Osan Shon Nivlehemala, so one went on top, one on the bottom. The ones that were on top, it looked like Nimehem Lamata, the cavern was beneath them. And those that were Lamata below, Nimehem Lamala. like the camera was above them. No one could find this. Is a miracle. One of the miracles, I think, actually, I think it's brought down in Pirkei Avos. It's one of the things that were created in Beinu Shemashos of the creation of the world, was Moshe's burial spot. Because there's a place that no one really seems to know where it is. And it's one of these mysteries that we can't really solve. At least they could not solve it. They couldn't figure out exactly where it was. L'kai Mashiach, this fulfilled that which is stated. V'lo yada ish es kvuraso. No one knew the place of Moshe Rabbeinu's place of burial. No one knew where he was buried. And we see over here again that people tried to find it and were not successful in being able to find it. Not successful. Okay. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Omer af Moshe Rabbeinu inu yodei hechen kavur. Moshe Rabbeinu himself even doesn't know where he was buried. Because Ksiv Halcha, it says over here, look at the Ish Eskfura, so that no one knew Moshe's burial place. What does it mean, the word Ish? Ksiv Halcha, it says over here by Moshe Rabbeinu, those are bracha, Asher Berach Moshe Ish HaLokim. Moshe is described as Ish HaLokim, and therefore, was the word Ish, that means Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at the Ish, it's worth me. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know his own makam of his own kavura. He didn't know where it was either. Okay. Amar Bichan Rechanina, the manik where Moshe ate the base poor. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu buried by the area of base poor? They lechaper al maisa poor, in order to atone for that which happened by poor. According to the Tosel here, Tosel brings down a very interesting medrash that every year when this the anniversary of this maisa with the Bnos Moav who were seducing Bnei Israel, so the malach of Moav would get up and try to prosecute Bnei Israel, and it would cross past Moshe's burial place. It would see Moshe, and it would immediately go back where it came from. It wouldn't act and be a prosecuting attorney on Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, V'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. There's an aleph over here. There's an aleph over here in your Gemara. You have an aleph there. So it takes you to the Hagos of Bach. It's a very, very long, not long. It's pretty thin, but it's a pretty long Hagos of Bach, relatively, on the side of the Gemara. Mine is in the middle side, towards the middle part of the page, the binding of the page. That is Hagos of Bach. Read that inside with you guys. It's a very interesting line over here. It adds in. Amar Bichamar Bechanina. Me'man Nistater. I'm reading right now the bold part. Me'man Nistater Kibro Shel Moshe Be'inei Basar V'dam. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu's kever hidden from Klal Yisrael? Why do we know where it was? M'nei Shigalu V'yadul Efnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem knows. Shasid Beis HaMikdash L'Charev. L'Yadol Es Yisrael Me'artzam. In the future, the Yisrael will be destroyed and B'nei Yisrael will be exiled from the land. Shema Yavol L'Kvur HaSoshem Moshe Bo. Maybe at that point when they get exiled, they'll go to Moshe Rabbeinu's kever. Knew it was, they go to his kever. And they'll say, Moshe, daven for us. Ba'adenu on our behalf. Oh, made Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was set up, and he would be Mevatel Gzira. I think it's actually a song. I think it's a song. Hold on a second. Hold on. This actually is this famous song. This song here. Come here. Let's go. Get to it, boy. The song here. I just didn't know this until now. I remember singing the Bach quotes over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu, if we knew where he died when we were exiled from Beit Hamikdash being destroyed, we would have gone to his kever and we would have davened. Yischan Moshe, Vayomer Moshe Rabbeinu, Amod Betzila, Badeinu. Nope. We all made Moshe and Bach Zera. Sing it. You know what it is. Yeah, you do know. Okay, I'll pause for a second so I can tell you what it is. So I don't want to sing on the tune. Okay. Anyways, the Bach was on that Moshe Rabbeinu would have davened on our behalf. Mevatel Gzeira would have knocked out the Gzeira. Bnei Shechavivim Tzadikim Mitzasim Yisrael Mevichayim. Tzadikim are more beloved in their death even than their lifetime. She can't have Motzei B'Shash Yisrael Mevibar. We find that Bnei Shechavivim was in the Mevibar. The Sarchu of Maaseim and they messed up in their actions. Again, I'm still in the Bach over here. Vasu Egil and he did the Egil's up. Katzav Gadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem got very angry. Amr Lamosha, Harif Mimani Vashvidim, go away from me and I'm going to destroy them. Kama Tzadikim Hayib Osu Ador. Kama Chasidim. There were so many Tzadikim and Chasidim that were alive at that time. Moshe, Aaron, Yeshua, Eldad, Medad, the Shivim Zakanim, the Shar Chacham and Talmidim. Lo Asa Bishvidim, but he didn't do, Hashem didn't save them because of those people. Rather, Obita Lagzera, Ela Bishvil Moshe. He only saved Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he did it. So here, how we know what Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was? And we left the base of Migdash, so we were just kicked out. We got Moshe's kever. It never would have happened. Hashem would have taken us back right away. So Hashem doesn't want to take us back. We needed the break. We need the gullus. We're not ready for the gula. So for that reason, Hashem has to hide Makam of Kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu from us. Back in the Gemara, Rabbi Chama Rechanina, my dechsev acher Hashem lokechem teilechu. What does it mean when it says that you should go after Hashem? Can a person go after the Shekhinah? Can you follow the Shekhinah so closely? It says in the pasuk, "Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochelahu." Hashem is a consuming fire. You got to keep your distance. What does it mean you should go after Shekhinah? Rather, Ella lahalech achar midos Hashem Baruch Hu. Means you should follow Hashem's path, follow Hashem's character. Mahu malbish arumim, just like Hashem clothes those without clothing, as it says in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, "Dechsev v'Hashem Elokim laAdam ulishto kasnos or v'albishen." Hashem made for man and for his wife, for Adam and Chava. We'll see what they are, but garments of skin, and he clothed them. Afata habishrim. So you also should make sure to help people who don't have clothing, give them clothes. Because Baruch Hu Bikir Chol, Hashem visits those who are sick. As it says, Zichsev, Vayera Alav Hashem, Elinim Arei, Hashem visited Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah. Havatah Bikir Cholam. Because Baruch Hu Nichim, Avinu Hashem consoles those who are mourning. Zichsev, Yachrei Moshe Avraham, Vayvarach Elokim, as Yitzhak Beno. Hashem goes to visit Yitzhak after Avraham passed away. He consoled Yitzhak from the mourning. Havatah Nichim Avinu, because Baruch Hu Kiver, Kaver Mesa, Hashem buries those who die, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Zichsev, Yikvero Sobegai, Hashem buried him in the valley. You too should bury people who have passed. We see over here, we should try to emulate Hashem's midos. The pasuk just quoted a minute ago, kasnos or, Hashem gave them clothing. Or these clothing out of Rabbi Shmuel, that machlok is what the clothing was made out of. Wool, says Rashi, things that come from skin, meaning from the skin of animals, which is wool. Or some say no, it was something that the or enjoys. Like your skin does not enjoy having wool on top of it, but it does enjoy having linen. So it refers to really linen, not wool. Machlok is the Gemara, what Hashem actually clothed other than Chava in. That's Rabbi Simlai, Torah tchilasa gminos chasadim v'sof gminos chasadim. The Torah starts off with chesed and it ends with chesed. Chesed gminos chasadim d'chsev v'yasem lokim lo'adam l'ishto kasos or v'abishay. Hashem gives them clothing. V'sof gminos chasadim d'chsev v'yikaber oso v'gai. And it ends off also gminos chasadim as Moshe Rabbeinu is buried by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful over here. It's a beautiful idea. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go to Israel so badly? He wanted to eat the fruits. He wanted to enjoy the delicacies, the good things of Israel. He wanted to go to the beaches of Tiberia. He wanted to taste the Sabra. Like, what did he want in Israel? What was the rush? What was the push? Elakach or Moshe. Moshe, the following thing. Harbe mitzvos nixtavu Israel. There are so many mitzvahs in Israel are given, but we can only do some of them in Israel. I want to go in so I can do every mitzvah. There are mitzvahs I can't do if I don't want to go to Israel. I can't do Shemitah. I can't do Shumas and Maestros. I can't do certain things. I want to do mitzvahs. I want to do every mitzvah that's out there. That's why he wants to go in. Kulon ayadi. And look, Hashem's back in. Klumatam bevakish elokav askar. All you want is to get skar, meaning not really skar like reward, but get skar of being able to do mitzvahs. That's what you want, is to do mitzvahs. Mala aniya alecha, I consider it kilu asisim, as if you did them. Shemar lache, we see this pasuk here is how we're going to end everything off. This pasuk here is going to be the conclusion of our parak, and we're going to read the pasuk first inside, and then I'm going to tell you to break down each part of the pasuk part by part. Lachein achalek lo barabim yatz atzumim yichalek shalal tachas asher heera lamavis nafsho ves pushim nimna. Sorry, lamavis nafsho. Yeah, but who? Sorry, that's Moshim Nimnah, but who chit rabim nasa la poshim yavgia. So what do the words mean? Literally, it means, therefore, I will split up from the masses, and the strong ones will divide. That tsumim means the strong ones will divide the shalal, the spoils. Tachas means because of, or in place of, I was not sure that you poured out your soul for death. Poshim nimna. And you were counted among those who were sinners. Vu chet rab nasan, you carried the chet of the masses. Vu poshim yafgia, and you were yafgia means you davened. You davened for those who were wicked. Now, piece by piece, we break down a little bit between part by part with Moshe Rabbeinu explains the whole pasuk first. Moshe Rabbeinu, lachin achalek lo barabim. What does that line mean? It means yachol b'kachro. Maybe you'll tell me that Moshe only gets, you know, a section of reward like the later generations, not like the earlier ones. V'lo karishonim. Tamalomer comes to teach you, no, that's atzumim yichalek shalal. Among those who are strong, Hashem will split up his spoils. Moshe Rabbeinu will be given just like Ke'avim Yitzchak Yaakov, Shenatzumim B'Torah, because they were very strong in Torah and mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu was given a portion like they have as well. Even though he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael proper, he was given a portion like the Avos. Then Tachas Asher Ha'ara L'Mavas Hashov, in place of having given his life, he poured out his life for death. So Moshe says over here, Shemaser Atzmo L'Misa, that Moshe was willing to give himself over. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, V'im Ayim Mechenin Amisipricha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem wants to destroy Bnei Yisrael because of the Egel Azov, if you're not going to save them, then erase me from your book. Erase me. I don't want to be in the Sefer. I don't want to be in the Sefer Torah. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu gave out his heart. He poured himself out there, and he risked his life to defend Bnei Yisrael. That's that part that Pasuk meant. Ved Poshim Nimna, which means, again, he's counted among those who are sinners. Shenimna Yimisei Misbar, Misei Midbar. That Moshe Rabbeinu was counted among those who died in the Midbar, people who themselves, you know, the Meraglim story, who themselves were sinning. Moshe was part of that group. I mean, not that he sinned, but he was included in that group. Who Chet Rabbi Nasan, he carried the sin of the masses. Shekipra Maisa Eagle, again, that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the one who was the kapara for what they did the Eagles of. Laposhim Yavgia, and that Yavgia will see soon means he davened for the people who were evil or wicked. So Shabikish Rachma Poshe Israel, Shiachsu Tshuva, he davened that the people of Bnei Israel should do tshuva, they should repent. And the word pegiya ve'en pegiya al tefila, pegiya dafka means davening. As Pasuk says about ta, al tipalel ba'ad ha'amazeh, v'al tisa ba'adam, rinayu tefila, v'al tifka bi. Which means, Hashem is talking to Yirmiyahu, do not daven for these people. Do not speak for them with cries and with prayers, and do not tifka bi. Do not pray for them towards me. So we see really the tifka, Yavkia is means to pray. Boys, Hajna Lach, Hamakanal Ishto. Okay, parak one, check. This is a great parak of Agadita. There's a lot more exciting things to come. Masechta Sota, we're Baruch Hashem on pace. We're doing well. We're going to re-meet again on Monday morning. Okay, so again, even though you guys keep only one day Yontif, for those who keep 2 days, I don't want anyone who's listening at home to fall behind. So we're going to pick up again Monday morning. What time works best for you? Similar time?